As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Welcome to the Songwriter Connection Podcast, where we look at the craft of songwriting through the eyes of the songwriter. Each week, we make a connection with a music maker, listen to their songs, and hear their stories. From Nashville, Tennessee, here's your host, Dave Lenihan.
Thanks again for joining us. This is episode 152, which brings me to a question I've been getting. Sometimes the numbers get out of sequence, you know. They get, as my wife Patty says, they get cattywampus. And why is that? Well, I record these in advance. Like today, it's a cold day of March the 19th, which is actually first day of spring. Let's face it, summer and spring come when they darn won't feel like it, right? This will publish on April the 17th. So sometimes I have to bump people up. Like, for instance, our St. Patrick's Day show, we had Colm Gavin from Ireland, and so I bumped him up to coincide with St. Patty's Day. Makes sense, right? So you can't pay attention to the episode numbers too much, but we get them. They're not always in order, but the shows are. Does that make sense? I hope so. We have a return guest today, and I am just so excited to hear what she's been doing. But before I do, I want to tell you about some things, and thank you, because as of this week, we reached 600,000 worldwide streams, and I'm so thankful to you for that, for helping us spread the word. And we made it into the top 50 once again of music interviews on Chartable. And, you know, that varies almost, I think, day to day. I'm not really sure. We've been as high as 25. We got to the top 50 in South Africa, doing well in Australia and the UK. So thank you for that. Keep spreading the news and the word about Songwriter Connection. We publish every Wednesday morning so you can have a cup of coffee and make the connection. Other things I wanted to tell you about. I got one of our listeners, Sean's a really good friend of mine, had sent me a video this week, and I watched it and was totally in awe. It was Rashida Tlaib, who is in Congress, and she was presenting a bill before Congress that was called the Living Wage for Musicians Act. And in that, she said that they want to raise the streaming money for every stream that you get to 1 penny per stream. 1 penny. Now, if you think about 1 penny per stream and you think, well, that's not a lot. I mean, aren't they making that much anyway? No, it's quite a fraction of that. And in fact, Rashida says, and this was interesting, in her talk, she said that 83% of the music being played today is being streamed. So think about that. And if they're getting less than a penny, That's just not right. And think about this. She also said, and this shocked me, she said, in order to make an equivalent of a $15 an hour wage as a musician, you'd have to stream at least 800,000 streams per month to make that kind of money. And it's just shocking to me. So I don't think having 1 penny per play is asking so much. So let's get behind this act. If you're here in the States, you know, write letters to your congresspeople and let's get this done. It's for the good of what we do and for our craft. Isn't that something? It just amazed me, and I had to share that with you. There's videos of her talking before Congress about that, and I encourage you to Google that and find that. So that's all I wanted to talk about. We've got Ellie Colleen back with us.
Hello.
It's so good to see you.
I know. It's really good to be back. I get excited.
It has been a long time.
I feel like it really has been. I was actually trying to do the mental math on the way here of like what we would have been covering last time.
Well, I tell you, your album Stones had just come out.
Was it?
Yeah, and you played some songs from it. We talked about that. Which you were, and you had just played CMA Fest.
That's wild. Yeah. Okay, so it would have been summer of what, 21?
Must have been. Yeah, must have been coming out of COVID.
Yeah, because the album came out physically in April of 21, and then we were putting it all out digitally in November of 21. So that's what it would have been.
Yeah.
Wild.
Yeah, that's wild.
Dang, and we're both still here.
I know.
I love this place.
I'm so sorry it's taken that long to have you back.
Okay.
But you've got exciting new music out we're going to talk about. First, we're talking about CMA. You're doing that this year? Are you going to be at CMA?
We're still being pitched for it. We haven't set the bait yet, but we are still being pitched
for it. It's early yet, too. We're talking
It doesn't
June,
feel
right?
like it, but it is. Yeah. It is.
Yeah, early part of June. Mm-hmm. So
I'm hearing about all these placements that people are getting, so it doesn't feel early to me, but I would be honored, and that's a whole world of its own, you know what I mean? So we'd be honored to get it, but honored to even just be considered. So
it's so much fun to meet the fans, isn't it?
It's so cool, and especially to meet them in a setting where a lot of people, you know, have it's almost like Disney World for country fans.
It's like they
have budgeted, they have planned, they have scheduled, they have you know, booked and rebooked and rebooked and canceled bookings and rebooked. So it's really cool to be a part of that day for those fans specifically. And for some, I can't really explain it, but it is much different than fans at shows. Like CMA Fest fans are different.
They really are.
Yeah.
Yeah. They are fanatics.
They are fanatics. Yes. They're willing to sit in that blistering heat in downtown Broadway, which makes all of our trash cans smell absolutely delicious. And they eat it up. They love every moment of it. And I love them.
And this year they're going to have more nightclubs, stars that have, like Chiefs is going to be open by then. I think Eric Church is going to be performing.
Right.
Your dad's place is fully open.
Yes.
And
it is
really well.
Beautiful, by the way. I'm so proud.
I'm really proud. Yeah.
Paradise Park was there before. It was Nashville Sporting Co. for a minute, but it was always Paradise Park. Uh-huh. And I can't tell you how many times I got thrown out of Paradise Park. That was my place. That was my place.
Was it really?
And I have talked to every bouncer at Friends and been like, you're not going to throw me out, right? And they said, we will if we have to. I said, well, I challenge accepted. I will see what we have to do now. I have to ride the line of being respectful and still getting kicked out. So I'm pretty excited.
That's pretty exciting.
So all that to say, I was like, you had to buy my favorite bar.
Yes.
Seriously?
Really?
And then turned it into just the most beautiful thing. Yeah, so yeah. I'm very proud.
Four floors.
So anyone coming to Nashville, there's a lot of new stuff to check out.
Yeah. Friends in Low Places. Check that one out for sure. You've got this new song out that I absolutely adore. And it was written, last time we talked a little bit about this because you were working with Lee Bryce and his wife Sarah. And Jared Neiman.
Yes.
And Sarah and Lee, and you wrote this one.
Yes.
And Lee is singing on it with you.
Yes. So it was a very, very cool thing. This is a song that we've sat on actually for a long time, and we're very lucky to release it when we did because of just some other things that we've had going on, which, you know, we'll talk about. But the writing process was actually, we just had our little anniversary. We wrote the song February 24th of 21.
Wow.
And so we sat on it for a long time. And when I asked Lee to produce a song for me called Halos and Horns, we added two other songs to it that it feels like, and now While We're Still Friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my favorite thing about the production of While We're Still Friends is I've been a fan of Lee Bryce since I was 11.
Oh, me too.
You know what I mean? Like, just an absolute fan. I remember, you know, when I got my first car, his CD was one of the first ones that went in, and I would just go and drive and sing for hours, and just such a fan. So to get to work with him as an artist in my own right was pretty wild in its own. And then so I asked him, I said, hey, you know, I'm not trying to use your name and likeness here. I just, as a fan, like, would you consider putting background vocals on this song for me? And just, and we can note it in the notes if you want, or we cannot, it's up to you. But like, just for me, it's like a treat for me. And he said, I would be honored to do that. I said, cool.
That's awesome.
And then I ended up on the road when he did his vocal part.
Mm-hmm.
So I will never.
So you were there in the studio.
I wasn't there.
Oh.
No, I was there for every mixing day for the most part. But the one weekend I was gone was the one week and he had time to come in and like spend some time with it and do his thing. So, I'll never forget being on the road and getting that MP3 sent to my email. And he said, I did a little more than background vocals, but I think you'll like it. And I just had so much respect for him and the conversation that we had about characters, you know, when we wrote the song. Because there was a version of the song before Lee was on it where I was leaving somebody that I loved, you know. And
I've heard you say that it was kind of a gut punch. Right?
It was.
And you draw, you know, like most great songwriters, you draw from personal experience too.
Yes, absolutely. And this one was a huge one for me. And I don't think that people realize sometimes that as a songwriter, you know, you create so many characters.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you don't know that you're writing about yourself. And this was a big one for me where I realized, oh, crap, she's me. That's why I love her so much. Like, this is me. But Lee adding his vocal to the song created two characters that amicably loved each other that mm-hmm. knew it wasn't going to work out. And that's what my story was. You know, I ended up getting literally divorced from this song. And we decided to make that step after I couldn't.
From this song?
I couldn't bring home songs anymore that I was lying about. You know, and I didn't really realize it for a long time, but there were so many circumstances and songs on the Stones album where I would bring them home and, you know, my husband would kind of look at me and I'd go, it was a co-writer's idea.
Yeah,
you know
what I mean? You.
Like, I pulled from old inspiration, you know, like whatever. And I don't think that, you know, I was being true to myself or my relationship or anybody, you know, by doing that. So I came home and this song started that whole conversation for us and we filed a month later.
Wow.
So this song was a huge gut punch for me. Oh, but man. Again, with Lee put his vocal on it and all of a sudden it was a safe space to share. And I knew that I had protected both of these characters and that they both, you know, had a say in this conversation that I was going to release out into the world, because I don't know what it's like for other songwriters, but I'm very protective of my characters, because I can't imagine being in that other seat of having a partner who can tell a one-sided story to this massive audience of people. And I'm over here like, well, what about what I experienced? You know, and I've always been very anxious about that for him and anyone that I've ever wrote a song about. Mm-hmm. So I mean, Lee added so much more to the song than a vocal of someone that I am a fan of, you know, and I'm very proud.
And the emotion just comes through,
yeah.
You know. And the video, I've seen the video a few times now, and it's, was this your first video, was it?
It was my first music video.
Wow.
It was so fun.
I got to ask you the question that everybody wants to know, especially the ladies.
Yeah.
Who's the hunk in the video?
I met him on set that morning.
Did you really?
I did. His name's Jack.
Jack.
He was casted by Stormlight, by the company.
Okay.
And he's been in a couple short films and stuff. I've tagged him on a couple posts, and I know Stormlight's tagged him in a couple posts, so anyone can follow Jack's journey. But Jack, as far as I know, is up for grabs, babies. You can go get him. He's so sweet.
Yes.
He made me feel so comfortable. And we had, you know, just a couple little intimate moments in the video that day of scene-wise, and I just remember that morning getting there and just getting so overwhelmed, and I just looked at Jack, and he said, "Are you okay?" I said, "Before we do anything, like, will you give me a hug?" And he said, "Of course I will." And we just stood there and he just gave me a hug for a minute. And I said, "Okay, we can do this now." Like, cool. Like, it was wild. I've never experienced any kind of thing like that as far as, like, again, shooting a video or becoming a character or even, you know, sharing a memory that I have with a partner with someone I met that morning on scene. You know what I mean? So it was wild. And I have a lot of respect for that entire community of people that do films now, you know, because it was wild for me.
Yeah, it really is. And I imagine it takes a lot of pre-production planning as to what you want. Did they storyboard it out? And
we storyboarded out. Yeah. It took us about 2 weeks of just phone calls between me and Mr. Logan, who kind of headed the whole story production part. And getting to see that storyboard write out was insane to me.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was so cool. I'd never done anything like it.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize, I kind of thought it was a shot in the dark. I really did. I thought I would show up on film a day and I had a little room to be like, hey, this scene doesn't make sense to me. But at the same time, we have a 10-hour window to shoot this entire thing in one day. Mm. So I was very nervous. And then when I got that storyboard in, I was like, there's way more pre-production than I realized on these kind of things.
Because there's so many cool things in it. You sitting on the hand of a clock, you know.
That clock was a 1 foot long toolbox. Yeah, we green screened it and I had to step about 8 times and try and balance. I fell off of it twice.
Oh my gosh.
And that is what you see when me walking out onto that clock is me taking the same steps and them splicing it together and like putting it. So that was also very cool for me to be like, this is how this works? Like, that's wild.
Behind the scene, exciting stuff.
Yes. Shout out to Bev. Bev let me use her house.
Bev.
So everything in that video is Bev's house.
Yeah.
Yes. My manager, Bev, my best friend.
She's
so shout out to Bev for letting us use the house. There's a lot of Easter eggs in the video,
now,
actually.
I've heard you say that. Tell us something. Mm-hmm. I know you in the wedding dress. And
yes.
What are some of the other things?
There's a lot of Easter eggs. So if you ever came to a live show, we have a skeleton that sits at our merch table. And I love skeletons. A lot of our stuff is spooky. So the skeleton is in the video. You have to find him.
Okay.
So he's in the background in the video. There's also a skeleton on my shirt, but that is not it. People think that is. That just happened to be because I have a lot of skeleton shirts. Again, I did not plan to. But I did not know that the budget for a music video only encompasses the production part. It does not encompass hair and makeup and especially wardrobe. So I did wear my wedding dress.
Wow.
And that was very odd for me. And there was a conversation that the wedding dress could turn black throughout the whole video, which was the only reason I wore it. And then we get down to editing and they go, we don't really, we wouldn't know how to do that. And I was like, why did we talk about it then? I was so, bummed. Gosh. So I am in my wedding dress. That is my church that I got married in.
Your church? Mm-hmm. Wow.
My dad built that church. It's on my family property. I got married in that church that's in the video.
Wow. In Oklahoma, or is that here?
It's here in Tennessee.
You're in Tennessee.
I'm wearing the shawl. The flower shawl is I wore in the shoot of the Stones cover album.
Okay.
So that's in there. I didn't notice that. My fans noticed that. I mean, when I showed it to my fan club, I said, there's Easter eggs in here. Let me know what you find. Uh-huh. They found way more than I put in there.
Wow.
Like way more than I put in there.
That's so cool.
So it was very cool. So there's a lot of Easter eggs. If you follow me, you know, I'm a kayaker and a paddleboarder, and I used a photo of us kayaking as those photos that disappear in the back. I think lastly, my horses are in it. So there's a photo of Jack and Einstein. Wow. And I kept telling stories about my horse Jack all day in the context of riding a horse. And you can only imagine the colors of purple that Jack and I both turned the actor when I realized that all day he kept hearing these weird stories about me riding something named Jack. And he thought I was talking about him. And we were like, no, we met this morning, you guys. Like, I have a horse named Jack, I swear to God.
Horse named Jack.
I swear. So it was a very fun day with a lot of memorable things for me.
I had a cat named Jack. He was my favorite buddy. Aww. My Bubba Jack.
I love that. That's a great cat name.
Big fat cat with he was missing an eye. And he was my best buddy.
Jack was destined to be missing an eye, I'll be honest. Yeah.
I think so, mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let's play this song because I really love it, and we'll talk more. This is Allie Colleen, our guest today, with Lee Brice, who is, he only does number one songs. So
that's what I'm hoping.
Yeah. So here you go.
Could stop this moment, forget the clock, pretend it's broken. And by the way, you look great tonight. Looking in, they'd never know it, but we both know where this is going. But we don't wanna say goodbye. So while we're still friends, while we're still here.
Such a haunting melody, and I could see why you put the skeleton in there. You know?
Right?
Yeah.
A little spooky.
Yeah, about things coming to an end, but in a good way.
Yeah.
Which I don't think I've ever heard that done that way. I can't think of another song.
Yeah. I don't know that there's ever been that space, right, created for a listener that is stuck in that limbo that you really do have to go into, you know, when you're making a decision like that, you know, and... And I think that that's also why we decided to put so much of the marriage world into the video, mm-hmm. was because obviously anyone who's ever been in a relationship that just isn't going where you wanted to has felt this way. But
yeah. Oh, yeah.
The conversations and the time and the amount of times you can't run when you want to, when mm-hmm. you're leaving something like a marriage was yeah. very challenging, you know, for both of us, you know, because there's a lot of times when you just want to get away and you're like, we can't, like, we signed on to this and we are going to do this the best we can and represent, you know, what we did. So yeah. I think that's why we did so much of the marriage thing in the video.
But, and you talked about this, the use of silence throughout. Yeah. And it was planned.
Yeah. So it was a very intentional. You know, I feel like this could have been a song that came, that had the emotion that it ends with right in the beginning. You know, like, you could have done that. Mm-hmm. But again, I think it feeds into, I think when you're in a position like this, actions will always speak louder than words anyway.
I agree.
You know, it's been how you treat each other and how you go about that kind of decision making. So I think that's how we wanted to approach the beginning of the song, was to create this space that just, you know, that just sucks you into this tiny little moment.
Yeah.
And like, because it is, it's almost tunnel vision, you know, and like trying to, and then it just grows into this huge thing. And so I don't know how recognized it is of how loud silence is and how much is spoken in silence. And so we really wanted to,
awesome.
You know, use that, and we did it. And so we, like I said, we held on to this song, and I got very lucky this year, and Lee gave us 6 dates on the Lee Brice tour.
That's right. I was going to say, you toured with him.
Yes. And we just came off the road from it. We had 6 cities, all up in the Northeast with Lee.
That's awesome.
The last weekend of February and the first weekend of March. And so we put this song out the weekend before we were going to go on the road.
And did you get on stage with him to sing it?
Every night.
Every night?
Every night. So I opened, and then I would come off, and every night I would get to come out, and he would call me out in the middle of his second set, because he had a little intermission.
Mm-hmm.
And we would talk about the song together, because it's an acoustic tour. So Lee tells stories before every song, and it was very special.
I'll bet.
And I thought, when I met Lee, writing Lee was my favorite. And then I got to meet producing Lee, and I said, nah, this is actually very cool. I could learn for years, you know, from this man. And then I got to experience performing Lee, and that was the coolest thing I've ever done, was getting to hear our voices together. And I do pride myself on being a vocalist and how hard I've worked to sing. And
such emotion in your voice.
There's only been a couple times in my life where I've gotten to sing with somebody else. Nonetheless, get to sing with somebody who I was a little nervous to sing with. You know what I mean? And getting to just...
So maybe it's good you weren't in the same studio.
Getting to just sit there and like kind of scream at each other on this stage, like in those final moments of that song. And, and to do it was just...
Oh,
if I could just capture that and put it in a little sippy cup, I would.
Is there video of that out there?
I would, yes.
Is there?
Yes. Okay. There's video on my Instagram and his of us performing together. But there's a very raw video on my Instagram of us singing together. And it's beautiful. Okay. It was just so cool.
Look for her on Instagram and you'll see.
Yes.
I like to talk about songwriting and the nuts and bolts.
Yes.
And what I love about songwriting these days, I'm all about the unpredictable rhymes, the different kinds of rhymes.
Yeah.
And the rhyme in this song.
I know what it is.
It blew me away when you rhymed Austin in concert. And you know, it works. It's so amazing.
I love that you're impressed by it, because most songwriters, I feel like, would cringe. Most songwriters are like, that doesn't work.
You know what I hate? I love going to a lot of the songwriter rounds and watching songwriters, but I hate when I can predict what the rhyme's going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, heart and apart, or what, you know.
Right.
And I always tell folks, let's don't settle on an average rhyme. Yeah. Blow me away with it, you know.
Isn't it wild?
Yeah.
And it does work. It really somehow
did.
Remember our first trip to Austin? I took you to your favorite concert. You just have to favor the vowels.
Exactly.
You know, and I said, and he goes, can we do that? I said, I'd do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we did it.
Yeah. That's cool.
I love that you're
that is the magic of song, I think. And I think that's what makes great songs today. That and that beautiful melody. Now, when you were approaching that song, was it a melody that you had, or that Lee had, or Sarah had?
He started playing something that I thought was beautiful, but I couldn't figure out what chords he was playing. So I played what I thought the chords would be, and it landed on those open, just down the neck, open E's or whatever they are. And
were you in an alternate tuning when you did it?
No.
No? Okay.
And so then I only play in standard. I wouldn't know. Okay. I don't even know how to do drop D, to be honest. I don't have a clue.
Well, I'll show you.
And please. And so I think there's something about finding a different guitar chord melody that he was singing something alt to with, and then just adding like, well, this is how it feels to me. And I think the melody came out of what the song felt like for me.
And there's another great songwriting point right there. You know, a lot of times I'll sit down on an appointment and we just start talking, you know, and like yesterday's was just a really good example. I was writing with a UK artist, and she was telling me about her mom, that she's saying that she, I have my mom's heart and I'm thankful for that. And as she's talking about her mom, I did this melody just start, I'm playing a guitar and it just starts, and I feel this melody coming out. Yeah. And the next thing I know, we're writing a song called Mama's Heart. And again, that's another.
And I bet you've never met her mama.
But I feel like I did now.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
You've known her all along. Isn't that wild?
Isn't that wild?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And she had passed away a few years before. So, but I felt like,
And she might have gave it to you too, which is also wild. You know, and I
isn't
think
that something?
It is, and it takes a certain kind of person to.
I believe in that stuff.
It takes a certain kind of person to accept that energy and to allow it, and then to also turn it into something. I don't think there's anyone on the planet who doesn't experience energy the way that we all do, but I do think there are certain ones of us, you know, like the crafters, and because I mean, I've seen what you know whittlers do with wood, and I think that they like, that's something I don't have.
You know what I mean?
And to take inspiration from a block of wood and turn it into what they do. So I think I think there's 100,000 ways to do that, but it take a certain kind of energy to be like a creator.
Yeah.
And I'm so honored to think that, you know, we were one of the chosen ones that get to do this. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
And it also blows my mind when people...
I thank God for that gift all the time.
Yes. And some people don't use it.
Mm.
And that's wild.
I know.
I feel like your world would just be a tornado inside your brain if you don't use it.
We are given gifts in order to use them.
Yes.
And share them with the world.
Yeah.
Like you're doing right now.
So grateful.
Yeah.
So cool.
Me too. And gratefulness is the best thing we can give. So
I think so.
I think so too. I want to thank you. You have a way with words, and you'll just say things that you know. I go,
That's very sweet.
During our last interview, I was listening to it on a walk the other day, and you had said something out of the blue. You said, "We all have our rocks in our pockets."
We do.
And I thought that hit me so hard. I put it immediately in my cookbook. If we ended up writing that.
Hey,
song.
If you that's fine. You don't even have to put my name on it. That's okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I should have called you and went, get over here. We're writing your song.
No, I've done that so many times, and especially with like my close friends. I'll write a song and they'll be like, didn't I say that? And I'm like, you were so drunk. You did. You said that. They said, do I get writer's credit? I said, not at all.
No. I would just be following you around, just listening to words you said and writing them down.
I need to listen to myself more, I guess.
You do.
I do. That's amazing.
Yeah.
But we do.
We do have our rocks.
We all have rocks in our pockets.
And we wrote it from the standpoint that they were afraid. There was obviously an attraction there. And they were afraid to jump in because they were burned before.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, we just need to, you know, we're afraid to go forward because of the rocks in our pockets.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a great idea for a song. So thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. Yeah.
Anytime.
If it becomes a hit, I'll buy you a rug.
Please.
Another horse.
With a penny.
With a
penny.
You know, I want to talk about a lot of things with you, but I got to take a little break. Don't go away. A real short break, and we're going to be back. Allie Colleen's our guest on the Songwriter Connection, and we're going to play some songs live around the dining room table, too, eventually.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to The Songwriter Connection, connecting with music makers and hearing their songs and stories. Now back to the show with your host, Dave Linehan.
All right, back in.
Allie Colleen is with us, and you're listening to the Songwriter Connection podcast. Thank you so much for joining us.
So honored.
Yeah, man. I'll tell you, it's always good to talk to you. You know, one of the things that we talked about on the last podcast, and since then, I've become addicted. When I was asking you where you get your new music, because when I was a kid growing up, you know, we listened to radio. We took our radios wherever we were, and we were turned on any music that we were hearing on the radio. Today, radio is, you know, it's just not as relevant as it used to be, and it's hard for me to say that because I spent 40 years in the business, you know. But people are getting it on Spotify and YouTube. And I asked you, and you said, well, I really like the TikTok kids today.
Love them.
And, you know, and I will tell you, within the last year or so, I've become addicted to TikTok because the same thing. There is just so much good music out there if you search.
There's so much good music. And then one something that I've started doing recently, because I do just constantly get flooded, obviously, with the algorithm of just like the viral songs that I've heard do really well. And I do love them. I love a lot of them. I think they're great. And I save them on my Spotify playlist and I do whatever.
Me too.
But I've recently been searching just the hashtag original music, you know, and going through the views that have 7 views and 5 views and 6 views and just falling in love with these kids that I pray to God do not get found for another 10 years so that they can grow up and hone their craft because they've got it. You know what I mean? And I understand in this world of viral takeoffs, it seems like that's the only way. But I saw a little 13-year-old girl move to Nashville last week whose vocal is absolutely insane. But I want her to know that it's going to be insane when she's 20, you know, and she's going to be safer then and more protected then and have a better chance of longevity then as well. So I just keep falling in love with these young kids and I'll never even show them to anybody because I want them to do well.
Yeah.
But I mean, social media can be a beautiful thing if you allow it to be, know, and I feel like a lot of people abuse it, but there's so many talented kids out there just sitting in their bedrooms, like just like I did. And it's just beautiful.
Yeah, it is. And there's a connection. I don't know how I feel about it. I know that they're talking about banning it in the U.S. And I think it would be a shame, but there's two sides of that coin. If China is really using it to spy on us, I don't know. Then that's not right. But I can't imagine them saying, okay, you can't use it anymore.
I don't know. And I had this really interesting conversation with a friend of mine the other week about YouTube and how YouTube is never going to go away because they took the time to go back and they had to fix a lot of things. If you remember about 8 years ago now, YouTube almost went away because they had that YouTube link converter where everybody was stealing music and everything. And so they finally... My friend and I had this really long conversation today about just the blockchain and what was created to like find the source of where something is being uploaded from. And YouTube spent years fixing that and fixing their things to where now there isn't a lot of illegal stuff going on YouTube when it comes to music anymore. Right. And they really figured it out.
Why can't they fix that?
So all of that to say, I think TikTok, if they do go away, it's them paying for launching a platform that they did not appropriately license. And it got away from them. You know what I mean? Because there is a lot of... There's kids that release a song that has just millions and millions of streams.
Yeah.
And they will never be recognized for those streams because the app is not licensed appropriately. You know what I mean? So I'm at a war with it in what it does for especially already, you know... associated acts like I mean even Texas Hold'em with Beyonce right now, there's so many streams that will never be accounted for. You know what I mean? And there's so many, and now that you can extract audio from a video on any app that you want and reuse it, it's just really getting away from people in the sense of that. But I've never heard something viral that I didn't go and listen on Spotify. You know what I mean? So it does transfer.
I agree to it.
So I don't think it's that big of a problem. But I do recognize where people are getting frustrated from losing money that they should have. But at the same point in time, it's kind of like being paid an experience. It's like, well, I can't take this to the bank, but it's helping me.
But have you noticed a lot of times they'll remove audio on TikTok? They'll say copyright infringement or whatever.
I have videos I've edited for hours that don't have audio on them anymore. And I'm
even
so
if you
sad.
Own the song, you know, so some sad. Of my songs. I put, a video that I had produced, an animation video, and they took the audio off. And I'm like, why? Why should I own the song?
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, so.
No, it's frustrating. Something. And they don't even tell you. You're just looking through your own videos one day, and you're like, the audio's gone.
Yeah.
That's cool. That?
Yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Right. No, it is a wild world, and I think it's going to take a long time to fix it, but I do think they can. Yeah, I think there's a world where TikTok survives and does its thing and everyone is still taken care of appropriately.
And if not, something will come and fill a hole, I'm sure.
Absolutely, you know, it will.
Absolutely. So anyway, pick up that guitar because we need a song from Allie Corleen live around the dining room table. She's got that beautiful Takamine.
I would love to.
You had a name for her, right?
Her name's Betsy.
Betsy.
Yes, right. Betsy and I have been together for a long time. My aunt's name was Betsy and she was an incredible bass player and guitar player.
Yeah.
And she passed away in 2013. Mm. So my dad gave this guitar to me as a gift, and he just put this little sticker on it that's a B, but it's also a 13. And
oh, so I see it is a 13.
This is the B13 edition of this Takamine. So this is Betsy. So this is my girl.
Your dad played them all the time.
Yes. Yeah. This is my girl.
Mm-hmm. She's gorgeous.
We've been together for a long time.
And she's had some wayward tears.
She has.
Little trigger thing going
on. We both bite each other pretty frequently, but we are. Luckily, we like it. So we're good together, you know?
You going to do something new that you wrote?
I am. I'm going to do something new. I've had a lot of people ask about, you know, if there's going to be some kind of wonky little divorce album or something. And I said, no, there's going to be one song.
Yeah.
Just one.
Just one.
And this is my one song. And this is actually what follows While We're Still Friends. So we just sent this off to mastering and it'll be our next release.
Great.
But it's just a beautiful song. And I always have to shout out my co-writers on this one. I wrote it with Alyssa Trihan and Miss Crystal and Craig Wilson, who we lost Craig, which is wild. Oh. I've never created something with somebody and then lost them. Mm. And this is Craig's favorite song. Oh. And when you hear the hook, there's something a little spooky about that for me. But always just thank Craig for like really following this vision with me and Alyssa for following the vision on the demo. And they're just, all three of them are just so kind. But this will be our next one. Was a moment, a season in my life. I put you in my plans. I did what I thought was right. I worked so hard just to watch you die. Sometimes you have to leave some things behind. It was never getting better.
Colleen. What a great song. That's a sneak peek of your new single, huh?
Yes.
When is that coming out?
We just sent it off to master. And so once we get that back, we'll upload it. And our company requires about 9 weeks of pitching and stuff. So we're looking at maybe the first week of May.
Of May, okay.
I'm thinking.
And the not too distant future.
Yeah,
we're a couple weeks away, so we can watch for that. And a great follow-up to the song with Lynn.
Thank you. I think so. Uh-huh. I hope so.
Yeah. Absolutely. Tell us about the writing of it a little bit. Did you write this one after the divorce?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. We sat down and wrote this one probably sometime in late 2022. But I never wrote with any of them, with Crystal or Craig or Alyssa. And they'd reached out and, you know, they wanted to write together. And so we sat down and we just talked about it, you know, and, and I brought the hook. Grass on the Grave. And
I
knew it was obviously like a mourning song and a grief song, but I didn't know that it was about me. I didn't know that that's what it was going to turn into. Mm. But I thought that we could write, you know, a grief song for people. But it didn't have to be, you know, a person passing, but it obviously would still have space for that. Mm-hmm. And we talked and we talked and we talked, and there was a lot of ideas that could have worked. And again, I really, really thank Craig for just being bold enough to go, listen, I don't want to be that guy, but like, didn't you just lose your person? Mm-hmm. You know? And I was like, I did, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that they'd, you know, known that or known my circumstance or anything. And he goes, you don't have to, he said, but I really do feel like there's a beautiful space for you, you know, to kind of live in that with us if you feel safe to do it and talk about that and really explore what that looks like. He said, because I think the people that you're trying to write for are, I think you're living the same thing that they are, you know, kind of thing. And it was just one of those other times where I needed someone to step in and go, this is you, man. Like, mm-hmm. This is you that you're talking about. Like, and that's okay. And so that was, it was very cool. So we talked a lot that day, just like you were talking earlier, just talking, just like how your artist was talking about her mama. I just talked about, you know, my world and my life and what it was and what it was supposed to be and all of those things. And they all were kind of like, all right, I think we know what to do with this now. Mm. And it was so cool. And I think out of the whole song, I think all of our favorite line is, you know, broken ground just needs the rain. Because I think it just says so beautiful. Many things, because, I mean, there's so many people out there who just need a little rain, whether that's somebody in their life, you know, whether it's themselves, whether it's, you know, a dog, it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? But there's, the rain comes in so many forms and so many things. And what a beautiful, you know, element too, something that's cleansing as well as destructive, as well as, you know, necessary for life. Like, I think it's very wild what all rain does. And we talked a lot about that day too. And it was cool.
So there's songwriting lesson in there, because it is so hard. And especially, like, you hadn't written with these folks before.
Right.
Then you're pouring your heart out on the table.
It really is just like getting together and just everyone's like, all right, you take your clothes off, I'll take mine. We're not going to touch each other, but we're going to stand under fluorescence and you're just going to see
metaphorically speaking, but that's basically angle.
That's what it feels like. That's it really does.
Yeah, I imagine.
And it's cool though. You know, and I've learned to become grateful for that. And then sometimes it feels like you've known these people forever, even though you just walked in their door. So I don't know that, you know, listeners really understand that either, that the things that are being created are from complete strangers.
Yeah.
And I think that's very cool.
And co-written together.
Yeah.
We co-write in this town.
Absolutely, and, we do.
Yeah. When did you first start co-writing? I know you were into you knew you wanted to do this at a young age.
Yeah, so I started writing when I was about 8.
About 8? Really?
I still remember them. I remember a lot of them, and they were awful. They were just little, you know, horrible jingles. And now that I look back, I can see the songs even that I stole the lines from that I thought were my own ones. But I'm like, no, that's a Joni Messina song. I just rearranged the lyrics on it. So I started doing that when I was 8. So it was really uncomfortable for me to move to Nashville and start doing it. But I moved to Nashville in 2014 to go to college.
Right? Yeah, Belmont.
So Belmont, as a songwriting major, that was the first thing they threw you into, was co-writing with
was
your
it
classmates.
Really? Yes. Well, I'm glad to hear that.
So we got to do that. And that was really uncomfortable, because then you're dealing with the pride of, you know, 18-year-olds being like, well, I've written by myself my whole life. I wouldn't say that. And I'm like, I wouldn't say it either, but what is the song going to say? You know, and as kids who all wanted to be artists, we had a lot of pride issues, you know, going into it. Like, I wouldn't say it like that. Like, and I'm like, I know you would say it this way because you're from Detroit. I would say it this way because I'm from Oklahoma. what does the song say? You know, and we got to learn that. And it was so cool.
Yeah.
It was so cool. And it was so challenging. And as uncomfortable as I was so grateful for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Nashville is just great about people finding young artists who've done it forever. Who's like, I would love to help you, you know, and help you, you know, hone your craft and do that. And I think I personally learned more of what I probably wouldn't say in those situations, but what a beautiful safe space to learn that. You know
exactly.
what I mean? So I think, yeah. I think co-writing is just the coolest thing on the planet.
I do too. Every now and then you got to write one by yourself.
Yeah.
But, co-writing is really a good way to go today.
Yeah.
And the other thing, think about it economically, seriously, if you have three persons on the song, you've got three people that can work that song. You know?
Do.
You do.
Yes.
And you're tripling your chances of
yes.
getting that cut or
you do.
Becoming a hit or whatever.
You're now all three also sharing a fraction of a penny.
Yeah. Well,
which is not a bad thing for me because, again, like you said, it outweighs three people promoting a song. It does. But
it
I
does.
Just yeah. I love that you mentioned that earlier because I always fight that line of, do you ruin the magic trick or not? You know what I mean? Like, do you let consumers know that you're not making anything? And that you're having a really hard time, you know, with the expenses of this business versus the profit.
Right.
Or do they just deserve a magic show? And I think they just deserve a magic show.
I think they do too.
But I think it's so cool when outlets are brave enough to talk about it and just be like, hey, you don't have to care about this. You keep streaming, you keep doing your thing. But also at the end of the day, if you ever think about it, just go to their website and see if they have a t-shirt. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Just go buy a ticket. I buy tickets to all of my friends' shows when I can't go.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Because they're $10 tickets. Like, I was going to spend that much at McDonald's on a drunk hamburger anyway. You know what
yeah.
I mean? So might as well put it somewhere that matters. Like,
I love
just
that you do that.
Go buy a ticket.
Yeah.
And if you feel the need to, find somebody in that city and offer them a ticket. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Like, there's so many ways to help artists
really
that
is.
People don't realize. And there's a lot of ways that are not a huge expense on your part that really make a difference.
Drop a few bucks in the tip jar, you know,
absolutely.
When they're playing. Support
yeah.
them, what they're doing. There's an artist that does this. Chris Young will go downtown and put $100 in a tip jar here.
I've seen him do it.
I love that about him.
He does do that. Yeah. He's very generous.
Very generous.
And he's played all those bars too. You know,
he was
waiting on someone to drop $100 in his too, or five,
yeah.
you know? So.
Yeah.
I think that's incredible.
We had a guest on this show not too long ago said that he was playing it. And by the night was over, Chris Young had dropped like $300.
Ugh.
And he goes, yeah, that's half of my rent for the whole month.
Exactly.
And I, you know,
exactly.
So how cool is
that? They live in a house with somebody, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
They don't have an apartment downtown.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's at minimum $3,000 a month.
Yeah. That's something.
Isn't it wild?
It's more expensive to live in Nashville than it's ever been.
It is.
Yeah.
What an honor.
Yeah, what an honor.
I don't mind. I'm in. I don't care. I'm in. I've got 30 years
you know,
to pay mine off, so I'm in.
Allie, I always preach to people that you've got to have a passion for what you do. And if you're doing it for that passion,
mm-hmm.
and like you said, to share your gifts, then you're doing it for the right reasons. If you're coming into this saying, I'm in it for the money, you know,
you're not going to be here for anything. I can tell you that. You're going to realize real quick.
Yeah.
It ain't there.
Money's not first. It
not
shouldn't
for
be.
For a long time.
It should be the reason why you do things.
I've had that conversation with a couple young artists lately, and it's
I
like,
bet you
I get it when we do this as a job. Like, it is very few and far between that I sit down at home and play for myself, and I get that.
Uh-huh.
But if I have a campfire, and I have fires most nights when it's cold at my house,
yeah.
I do. And it's my favorite thing. And I can't wait to sit there and play. And like my barn, I can't wait to go sit in my barn and play music. And because that's what I did. I spent my entire childhood, I shared a room with both of my siblings. So all three of us in a room my whole life. So my place to play was my closet. You know, we had a decently sized
little
walk-in closet, and I would sit in the back of my closet and I would sing.
Wow.
And I would play music.
And I bet you had great sound in there too.
It was actually wonderful.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. And so, and I'm just like, I'm just talking to these young kids. And I'm like, if you're not still going and sitting in your closet,
yeah.
there's really no reason. Like if you're not still performing for yourself, I don't know how you're going to survive in this town playing for other people, because this town is not a listening town, which is crazy.
Mm.
It's crazy that the city of music is not a listening town.
Yeah, it is.
And it is what it is. Now you have your venues that are sacred, right? Like the Bluebird and Listening Room, where that is the whole point, is to go and listen. But
you've done the Bluebird, haven't you?
I have.
Yeah. It is an experience.
And it's incredible. But I think you also just have to have that passion to where if nothing ever happens,
mm-hmm.
you know, do you still love what you do?
Exactly.
And
right.
and I I haven't, all my friends in town would be doing this if they had to move to the Keys and play on the beach for the rest of their life. You know what I mean?
Like that Luke Combs song,
which doesn't
song,
sound
right?
like that bad of a life anyway.
Yeah. I love that Luke Combs song, you know? What I'd be doing? I'd be doing this. If I wasn't doing this, I'd be doing this.
You bet. Absolutely. Yeah. Cool. That's a great song. Yeah, he's got great songs.
He does. I love what he does.
Where the Wild Things Are is just astronomically beautiful. Yeah. He's got great songs.
I think he's where country's at today.
Yeah.
I really like what he's doing. I love what you're doing, too. So let's pick up that Takamine guitar, Betsy. And let's do another one. You got another new one for us?
I do have another new one. And I actually, I would love to play one that we talked about co-writing. I would love to play one that I wrote by myself.
Okay.
And it's just a little sad girl song, but I love this song. And it's I don't know. I feel like when Allie writes by herself, she writes a little different. Mm. And I have only a couple songs that I've written by myself in the last years. And there's one called Miserable, which I love. Nobody else does. I love that song.
Mm-hmm.
There's one called Scared Snakes, which is super weird. And then this one, I don't know that it's weird, but I feel like it takes a weird way to explain what it's talking about. But I feel like everyone, you know, relates in their own way. But this song's called Mahogany Teakwood.
Oh.
And I don't care if you were 18 or if you were 27 or whatever, every woman has had their heart broken by a boy whose car smells like mahogany teak wood. So this is for us, babies.
All right.
Still keep your soap in my shower. And I say it's for the men in my bed. Now I fall asleep to you holding me while I lay in the dark on their chest. And when autumn comes and goes, all that I'm left with is you and your absence. Mahogany teakwood, hold me tonight. Don't say a word in the dark, 'cause it won't sound right. Let your memory fill this room. Put your hands on my body the way he used to, and time will pass and I'll run out. But I'd buy 100,000 bottles just to keep you around. Mahogany teakwood. And I check my phone when I wake up, 'cause in my dreams you changed your mind. Now I'm losing grip on reality, 'cause I swore it was real this time. But his breathing is off and he's a little too tall. But that candle still burns through the night by my bedside. Mahogany teakwood, hold me tonight. But don't say a word in the dark, 'cause it won't sound right. Let your memory fill this room. Put your hands on my body the way he used to, and time will pass and it'll burn out. But I'd light 100,000 candles just to keep you around. Mahogany teakwood, mahogany teak wood, it don't smell like it should. Mahogany teak wood.
Well, that's pretty.
This is a little sad girl song.
A little, but it's, you know, it's filled with a lot of imagery, a lot of show me, don't tell me. And as far as creating memories, there's nothing. Well, there's music, but I think second to that would be smells.
I'm right there with you.
You smell something, and it's like bacon and eggs cooking in the morning. I'm in my grandmother's kitchen.
Absolutely.
You know,
Cinnamon rolls.
Cinnamon rolls.
Cinnamon rolls. And my dad called the kitchen Dad's Cafe every Dad's morning Cafe. Growing up. He'd say, wake up, Dad's Cafe is open, and there'd be cinnamon rolls.
Wow.
And I don't know. I also, so I can't see very well, like at all. I really can't see very well. And I'm actually, as a musician, I can't hear very well. I was born with 60% hearing loss in one of my ears.
Really?
And then I had hearing aids as a kid. It fixed as an adult. It was more of like a development problem in my ears than like something I didn't have. But I didn't know if that's why it is. But I mean, smell's driven my entire life. You know what I mean? Like every memory I have is more olfactory than anything else. And I just think it's so cool. And so I wanted to capture missing a person by nothing but smell. You know what I mean?
I love that.
And just having that. And then trying to make other people smell like that person. And it's still just not working out. You know what I mean? Like I loved it. The only other way I've ever wanted to capture somebody is by a laugh. I remember my best friend passed away in 2017, was in a car wreck. And I remember being at Kroger probably 2 years ago, and I heard him laugh from like three aisles over. And I looked and I just saw this young kid who was the same age that Dylan was when I met him.
Oh my gosh.
And I followed this kid through the grocery store, just like looking at items on the shelves because he was playing with his siblings and he just kept laughing. And I was like, I don't know how old you are, but God help me if you were born in 2017, because you are my best friend. Like that is their laugh. And I think there's so many cool ways that people capture other people.
I do too.
And I think that's what I love about Mahogany Teakwood is it's just about how just capturing somebody in a different way.
I love it. Fantastic. Going to record that one?
I think so, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm not sure yet.
Mm-hmm. People they ask
would,
me that.
They would know. So I have a weird pride in recording it because they can't know.
What's next for them? What you got going this summer?
We're hoping to be on the road. We actually just signed on with a new agency that I've dreamt of working with my entire life. So CAA just took us on, and their roster of artists is impeccable.
Really?
So we have a lot of opening opportunities for this summer.
Good.
And we can't talk about them because contracts aren't signed, but we have a lot of opportunities like that, and it'll be the first time for me going out and getting to... Just like Lee, you know, just getting to receive the benefit of somebody else's ticket sales, you know what I mean? And an audience that I don't have yet.
Yes.
And those are the coolest meet and greets to me are the shows that aren't mine. Because they're kind of like, sometimes they come and they're like, we don't actually know who you are. You know, do you mind telling us? Like, we're so sorry we don't know. And I'm like, you don't have a reason to know, but you will after this, I swear. Like, let's get to know each other. And it's so cool. Yeah. So that's what our summer looks like, is a lot of opening slots. Anyone who wants to come see us on the road, we have a website, just Allie Colleen Music, and we
Please
keep
it
up to date with all of our touring options. We also do a lot of private parties throughout the years. So
those are my favorite.
They're the best, and those fans are fans for life.
Yeah, they are.
Last private party I played, someone brought a tattoo gun, and we all got a matching tattoo. And I don't have matching tattoos with anybody, and now I have matching tattoos with strangers in Oklahoma, and it is so cool. We all got a horse.
Any with a lightning bug?
No one's got my lightning bug yet, and I've been sad, but I do have... probably 10 to 12 women out there with my signature, which is pretty sick. I think it's stupid, but I think it's awesome. I'm like, I don't know about your decision making, but send it. I'll pay for the tattoo myself. Go get it.
Amazing. I love it. Allie, I love having you on the show. Thank you.
It's been great. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
I'll keep following you, and I'm just really happy with how things are going for you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, all the best. And we'll talk to you soon on the Songwriter Connection.
Thank you for listening to the Songwriter Connection podcast. Find us on social media at Songwriter Connection. Also, listen to Dave Lanahan's Nashville Connections radio show. It streams live every Friday morning on WOBL and WNOI. Look for us on Facebook and YouTube. See you next time on Songwriter Connection.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. SpringHill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat.
With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.